kicked it off just right. That was good stuff. And the ladies, what'd you say? They're from Louisiana, Powell family. Hallelujah. What a blessing. Enjoyed every last bit of it. I hope we can be... I've had five people ask me, preacher, since I stepped out of my truck, was I going to preach on NASCAR flags? No, not tonight. We ain't going racing. Amen. But Lord willing, He'll meet with us and speak to us a little bit. It's sad. The only way you can get a bunch of rednecks' attention is talk about deer hunting, fishing, or NASCAR, and you got their attention. Amen. But tonight we'll go a little different direction and pray the Lord to bless it. One simple verse of Scripture, very familiar passage. I hope we can say something that'll be a help to you. 1 Kings chapter number 19 and verse number 9. The Bible said, "And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And said unto him, What doest thou here, Elijah?" Let's look at it one more time and we'll pray. The Bible said, "And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said unto him, What doest thou here, Elijah?" Let's pray. Father, as we come to you this evening, Lord God, we thank you for a good day. Lord, thank you for these dear, precious people that have gathered under this tabernacle tonight. God, I pray that you would meet with us for a little while tonight. Lord, you've already blessed and touched in the singing. Now, Lord, I pray you'd bless your word, touch the preaching tonight. Help us to be a help and a blessing, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. 1 Kings chapter number 19, you got to go to Bible school to get this, but it follows 1 Kings chapter number 18. 1 Kings chapter number 19 comes after 1 Kings chapter number 18. How many of you know what happens in 1 Kings chapter number 18? One of my favorite chapters in all the Word of God. I got a sick mind, but Elijah, the prophet of God, the preacher, the man of God, if you will, he challenges the prophets of Baal. Y'all remember that? He calls on all the, I was going to say Democrats, but I better not. He calls on all that liberal crowd, and he calls on all that crowd that don't believe the Bible and don't believe about things of God. And he calls on them and he says, "I tell y'all what, let's just have us a little contest, and y'all pray, and then I'll pray, and the God that answers by fire, why, we'll just let him be God." Sound like a pretty good deal, don't it? Well, that crowd prays. I'm telling you, they do some praying, preacher. I mean, they prayed till they tore the altar down. They spoke in tongues. They had the number one CCM band. I mean, brother, they had it all going on. They probably had that Saddleback preacher there. I don't know who else. I mean, brother, they had everything money could buy. I mean, I'm telling you, they are doing some praying, but God answers not a word. You know, it doesn't matter how good you look. And it doesn't matter how good you sound if God ain't showing up. I just felt something right there. It don't matter how good you look, how big a bus you drive, how many places you booked in to sing or preach. It don't make a lick of difference if God don't show up. Well, that crowd prayed, and they prayed for a while. They prayed till they tore the altar down, and Elijah's sitting over there and making fun of them. Yes. And I get in trouble for making fun of preachers, and my excuse is Elijah did it. Right. Amen. Elijah did it. He said, "Maybe y'all ought to pray a little louder. Maybe your God's taking a nap. Maybe he's asleep. I don't know, but y'all ain't getting her done." Amen. And, I mean, he just gives them a hard time. Well, then when they get done praying, Elijah says, "All right, I tell you what, let's do." Now, you gotta remember, they're in the middle of a drought. It ain't rained in what, 3 years? It's been a while. Water is the most precious commodity these people have. And what's Elijah tell them to go get? Go get some water. Go get some water, repair the altar, dig a ditch around it, pour the water all over the sacrifice, pour the water in the ditch, they're just wasting the most precious thing in the world. And then Elijah backs off and starts praying. Prays a little prayer that's just one verse long. And God answers by fire, and fire falls from heaven, consumes the offering, consumes the water, and even burns the dust off the ground. I don't know about y'all, but that's a fire in my book. Amen? I've got a prayer closet. It's not really a closet. It's my study at home, but it's where I pray. And I've done some high-powered praying in that room. I really have. I've prayed before, and the presence of the Lord seemed so real that I was afraid to open my eyes. But there's been other days, probably like most of y'all, I've prayed and didn't know if He was anywhere around. But I'll be honest with you, I've done some pretty good praying, but I ain't never even smelled smoke. How about y'all? Not one time. I ain't never prayed down no fire. I ain't never really tried it. Maybe we ought to do that. I've got a couple of places in mind if y'all want to go. Amen. I ain't never prayed no fire down from heaven. I didn't say I wouldn't like to. There's a couple of places I'd like to see go up in smoke. Amen. But then it ain't over. Then he prays fire down from heaven, and then he kills 400 prophets of Baal with his bare hands. Yes. All I got to say is, Elijah, you the man.
Yes. Amen.
I don't know about y'all, but if I'm Elijah, I'm ready to sign Bibles.
Yes.
I've got my calendar open. I'm ready to book meetings. I am the Mog. Y'all know what a Mog is? I am now the Mog. Man of God. I mean, I'm telling you, I've just prayed fire down from heaven. I have just killed 400 prophets of Baal. I'm the man. I'm feeling pretty good about myself. But then chapter 18 ends. And chapter number 19 begins. How many of you would agree that one phone call can change your entire life? One phone call. You can be on top of the mountain 1 minute shouting glory, hallelujah. I mean, everything's wonderful. If somebody asks you, preacher, how you doing? Man, I'm doing great. Couldn't be doing better. I just prayed fire down from heaven. Just killed 400 prophets of Baal. I just singly handed turned Mount Carmel into a non-profit organization. Amen. I'm talking about the man of God. But in chapter number 19 and verse number 1, he gets news that Jezebel heard about what he's done. And she sends word to him. She said, by this time tomorrow, you're going to be like one of them. In other words, she sent word to him, Elijah, I'm going to kill you. Now, if I'm Elijah, I'm going to pray down some more fire. I just killed 400 prophets of Baal. I think I can handle Jezebel. That ain't how our minds work, is it? That ain't how our minds work. Here we are, saved on our way to heaven, washed in the blood, our sins are forgiven. We know that in our heart, but yet still the phone calls, the news, the media, I'm trying to think of the right word to say without being ugly, strike fear into our heart and just scare the britches off of us if we ain't careful. And so what's Elijah do? What's Elijah do? He finds himself in a cave. He finds himself in a cave. I'm going to tell you a story, and that's of course most of my messages is a story, but I'll tell you a story in a minute. But caves in the Bible, I started looking at them. If you study out caves, everywhere you find caves in the Bible, it ain't good. Every time you find somebody, even David, a man after God's own heart, you find David in a cave. Caves are always associated with trouble, with trial, with testing, with a hard, or maybe even hiding on the run. Caves ain't never good in the Bible. Are you listening? And Elijah finds himself in a cave. In a cave. Caves are created sometimes in our own life. We got caves of sin, caves of sorrow, Amen. I got a church full of folks in a cave of sorrow. Sorrow over a lost loved one. Man, you name it. We could just, the list goes on and on. Caves of sorrow. And you know what? They're real. They're real. Hurt is real. Heartache is real. And we're not exempt from it. Are y'all listening to me tonight? Every one of us going to have to go through. Caves are a part of life. Caves of sin and sorrow and suffering. I got people sitting tonight in a cave of self-pity. In a cave of self-pity, just feeling sorry for themselves. There's a time to sorrow, and there's a time to mourn and to weep, but there's a time to get up and go on. Yes. Amen. There's a time just to get up and wash your face and hands and say, all right, by the grace of God, I'm going on for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm leaving this behind me. Amen. Yes. Amen. I'm talking to somebody who's living in a cave tonight. I don't know about y'all, but I go through them times when I don't want to hear the phone ring. I don't want to talk to nobody. I just want the world to go away, pull the cover up over my head, and hope that everything's fine when I wake up. Amen. I ain't preaching about depression tonight, but I could. If you'll study out depression in the Bible, oftentimes when people get down and people get really discouraged, they just want to go to sleep. If you remember, the Lord Jesus asked His disciples, He said, y'all pray and watch with me 1 hour. Garden of Gethsemane. Y'all remember that? When He came back, He found His disciples, and the Bible says specifically that they were sleeping for sorrow. They were sleeping for sorrow. What I'm trying to say tonight is caves are simply a part of life. A part of life. I'll be honest with you, caves are creepy.
Yes, sir.
Caves are creepy. I'm not a cave person.
No.
I'm a mountain person. Amen. I like to be where I can see. I like to be where I know what's going on around me. But here's the story tonight, and this will be the message. Several years ago, my wife and I, we took a trip to Belize. Anybody know where Belize is? It's right down below Mexico. Coolest thing about Belize is they speak English. So anyway, my wife decided we go into Belize. I said, that sounds good. And I'm sitting on the couch on a Monday afternoon like any good man of God would do, watching Bonanza. Amen. That's me and Hoss and Little Joe. My wife is in my study where the preacher should be. And she's in there on the computer and she's looking for stuff for us to do in Belize. I'm watching Little Joe and I'm watching Hoss and Ben and my wife hollers from the study and she says, hey, they got a four-wheeler tour through the jungle in Belize. I said, sounds good. Mark that down. I'm watching Bonanza. I'm not paying her much of attention. I'm thinking in my mind, four-wheelers in the jungle. That's cool. And next thing I know, she hollers out, hey, they got horseback riding on the beach. I love horses. I'm in. Right there. I'm in. And she got another thing. She hollers, they got zip lines in the jungle. I'm like, man, that sounds great. Put us down. Mark it down. Let's do it. And then she yells out something that I never will forget. She said, honey, here's what we're doing. I said, what is it? She said, they've got a cave tubing tour. I said, come again? She said, they got a cave tubing tour. Well, that was enough to cause me to pause Little Joe. I put Little Joe and Hoss and Ben on hold and I walked to my study and I said, now let me tell you something, sister. I said, I'm in on the four-wheelers. I can ride one. Don't care if they four-wheelers, side-by-side, or motorcycles. I'm in. We'll ride in the jungle. I'm in for riding horses on the beach, bareback, saddled, in the water, dry. It don't make no difference to me. I'm in. I'm in. I'm in for ziplining. I'll swing from the trees like George of the Jungle. But sister, you mark her down. I am not going cave tubing. Y'all understand what I'm saying? I'm the man of my house. She ain't out there nowhere, is she? I said, bless God, the foot is down. I'm in for all that stuff, but I ain't going cave tubing. So I'm in Belize. Belize City, standing on the street corner, waiting on the van to come pick us up to go cave tubing. Yeah, you knew it. She won. We're standing there waiting in line and waiting on this little van to pick us up. And the van pulls up and it's got the little sign in the door. It's the van we're looking for. And we get in and there ain't nobody in the van but me and her and these two men. And their names are Thomas and Thomas. There's a man who's driving whose name is Thomas, and there's a boy in the passenger seat whose name is Thomas, and he's the driver, Thomas's son, Thomas. So it's Thomas 1 and Thomas 2. And they are, I don't know the right term, Belizean. I mean, they're native. They're born there, been there all their lives. And we get in a van and we're traveling down the road and we start up through these mountains and I'm looking around and I look at Thomas 2 over there and I said, "Hey, Tommy 2, are we the only ones?" He said, "No, we got to pick up one more couple." He said, "Today is your lucky day." I said, "Yeah, right. I'm about to go caving in a tube. I've got visions of bats and all kind of stuff. I am not comfortable with tubing in a cave. I mean, let's just make that clear. I've got a phobia. It ain't cool. It ain't cool." He said, "No, we're picking up another couple right down the road at a resort." So we pull off and we pick up this young couple and they're on their honeymoon. They ain't interested in no cave. They ain't. They crawl all the way in the back of the van. I ain't even going to tell y'all what they is doing. I was like, "Man, we should just left them back yonder." And he said, "Today's your lucky day. Normally there's 30 or 40 in a group, but today it's just you four." And I thought, well, the more the merrier, amen. So we get to the place to where we're going cave tubing. Now keep in mind, they promise me jerk chicken when we get back. Amen. Like the four-wheelers. Like the horses on the beach, I'm in with the jerk chicken. Amen. Now business is picking up. So we get there to where we're going and we get out and they give us all a tube. It's an inner tube is what it is. It's a float. And that thing probably weighs about, I mean, it's big. It's a big old, like a transfer truck tire inner tube, except it ain't really. It's a float. But they hand us one of them things. That thing probably weighs 20 pounds. I said, "Where am I going with this?" He said, "Well, we got to hike 3 miles through the jungle to get to..." I'm on vacation, friend. I ain't here to carry nothing. I'm on vacation. You tote my tube. Amen. No, everybody's got to carry their own tube. Everybody's got their tube. And here we go through the jungle. And we're going through the jungle. And Thomas 2, T2 is telling us all about how you can live and survive in the jungle. He said there's black panthers in there. There's, not leopards. Well, it is a leopard. A leopard. Hey, leopards, all kind of stuff, man. And I'm like, "Where's the chicken? Where's the chicken?" We're going through here and all of a sudden there's a big tree and it's got a knot on it about that big. I mean a knot on the side of this tree. And Thomas walks up and puts his hand on that knot. And when he did, his hand became just covered in bugs. That knot wasn't a knot. It was a termite nest. Termites. His hand was just covered with termites. And what he did next, he started eating them boogers. And he was telling us, he kept showing us all these leaves and stuff you can eat and survive in the jungle. And he starts eating these termites. And I said, "Man, you ain't right with God." He said, "Really?" He said, "They taste like mint and they're full of protein." And he offered one to the little newlywed husband. And he said, no, thank you. And then he offered one to the newlywed wife. And she said, "No, thank you." Then he looked at me and I'm like, "Dude, I ate lobster last night. I ain't finna eat that bug right there." And the craziest thing, Brother Ken knows my wife. Most of y'all don't, but she's just quiet and reserved. If you were ever in church much with my wife, you would understand she's the kind of person that you don't even know's there. If she shouted, everybody in the church would have a heart attack and die. I think in 30-something years of ministry, she's testified once. She's just quiet, really reserved is what I'm trying to say. And that man's got all these bugs on his hand, and he reaches toward my wife, preacher, and he said, "Would you like to try one?" And she said, "Yeah, I will." And my wife puts a bug in her mouth and begins chomping on it. I ain't kissed her yet.
And she's sitting there just chomping on that termite. And she said, really, it tastes like peppermint. And I said, I'll take your word for it. So anyway, we're going through all this stuff, you know, about how you can survive in the jungle. And I'm like, just get me to the river. It's 105 degrees. Skeeters are toting me off. I know there's a black panther fixing to claw my eyes out. Just anywhere, just get me in the river. So finally, we get down to the river. And Thomas has picked up on the fact that the preacher is not excited about going through a cave. So Thomas starts trying to reassure me, and the more he starts trying to reassure me, I start asking questions. And Thomas says, so you are really interested in cave tubing? My wife said, no, he ain't. He's working on a message. And sure enough, the Lord was giving me something, and I'm going to give that to you tonight, and I hope it'll be a help. We got down to the river, and Thomas said, we're fixing to go through this cave. He said, when you get in that cave, he said, you don't know darkness like you're about to experience. He said, this is the darkest place that you have ever been in your life. He said, zero light. He said, there are several things that are important about cave tubing. He said, and if you'll listen to me, you're about to have the time of your life. I'm standing in the river about knee-deep water. We've got our five inner tubes, mine, my wife's, the newlywed couple, and Thomas. We've got all these tubes loaded, lined up in the river, and you can see the mouth of the cave down there about 200 yards. That's where we're headed. I mean, it's just a hole in the side of a mountain. And if you look, there ain't no way around that mountain. There ain't no way over it. You've got to go through it. And that's the way life is, man. Sometimes you just got to go through it. You don't want to. But you got to. And there we was. I got to go through this cave. The only way I'm going to get through this day is go through this cave. So I'm thinking in my mind, I might ought to listen to this cat. I might ought to listen to what he's got to say. Now here, I'm going to give you what Thomas gave me, and we'll go to Waffle House, all right? Number one, Thomas said, when you are cave tubing, always make sure to follow your guide. He said, always make sure to follow your guide. Take your Bible and turn to John chapter number 16. Follow your guide. Hey, you're going to wind up in the caves of life. When you find yourself in the cave, you better follow your guide. John chapter number 16 tonight. We doing all right? John chapter number 16 and verse number 13. John 16 and verse number 13. The Lord said, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He's talking about the Holy Ghost. I believe in the Holy Ghost. Let me say that again. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I don't believe that. I don't believe that's a Pentecostal thing. I don't believe that's a charismatic thing. I believe that's a saved thing. I believe when I trusted Christ as my Savior, the Holy Ghost moved on the inside of my heart. I believe the Holy Ghost leads, guides, and directs us. I believe He comforts us just like the Bible said. Hey, thank God we have not been left without a guide. Hey, I said, when you find yourself in a cave, you better learn to follow your guide. I wondered when we got out of the van while Thomas won, T1. He didn't get out of the van. He's probably in his 70s. T2 is probably in his 30s. We're standing there in the creek or the river, whatever you want to call that thing, and he looked at me and he said, now listen, he said, the reason it's so important that you follow your guide is because we have been here before. He said, you know that old man we left in the van? I said, yes, sir. He said, that's my daddy. He said, my daddy's 70 some odd years old. He said, about 40 years ago, he said, my daddy started the cave tubing business in Belize. He said, now there's hundreds of companies that you can sign up with to go cave tubing. He said, but my daddy, Thomas, number one, started the cave tubing business. I said, okay. He said, what I'm trying to tell you is when I was a little boy, about 3 years old, I went through this cave on my daddy's lap. He said, "Preacher, I know this cave like the back of my hand." He said, "I can go through it blindfolded. I don't need a flashlight." He said, "I've been in one side. I've been out the other. Hey, I'm here to tell you tonight, our God, the Holy Ghost of God, He has been there before. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows everything that's in between. Hey, if we'll just settle down and follow our God, He will not lead us into harm, but He will lead us into holy ground." Are you listening to me tonight? Thank God we've got a guide tonight that will lead us. Follow your guide. Follow your guide. He said, "My daddy started the cave tubing business." My daddy. Can I just tell you, my father started the cave tubing business? Way back here, and I started studying this, and we won't go through all of them tonight, but I could real quick. But now, every place you find a cave in the Bible, you know what else you find? You find a father in the cave. Every time you find somebody in a cave, somebody discouraged, somebody on the run, here's poor old Elijah. I mean, he's just prayed down fire from heaven. He's killed 400 prophets of Baal. Now he finds out that he's going to be killed this time tomorrow. And he runs and hides in a cave. Who shows up? The Lord shows up. The guide shows up in the cave. Now, wait a minute. A few minutes ago, he was under a juniper tree. A few minutes ago, he was under a juniper tree and he prayed specifically. Y'all remember that? You remember what he prayed? That he would die. He said, "Lord, isn't it enough? Let me die." He's praying for God to kill him. Do you know what? God doesn't even answer him. God doesn't even show up. He sends an angel with some food. Am I right about it? Y'all think about it. But now after the angel and the food, he's in a cave. Now God shows up. When he gets in that dark place where he can't see the way and he don't know the way, the guide shows up. Listen to me, when you get in the caves of life, you better follow your guide. Now here's what the cave guide said, Thomas 2, T2. He said, "Listen," he said, I made it sound like it was only us four, that there were hundreds of people there. A cruise ship had just docked in Belize City. And all these different cave tubing guides had all these groups and they were ahead of us. Here's what he said, preacher. He said, "We get in the cave." He said, "You're going to hear a lot of voices." He said, "You're going to hear a lot of voices." He said, "Be honest with you, most of them people on that boat," he said, "they drunk when they got here." He said, "They'll be drunker when they leave." He said, "Don't listen to none of them." He said, "You listen to my voice." Kind of like that deal with that NASCAR, with that spotter. Amen. Thomas' float was back there behind us through that whole trip. I never could see Thomas. If I turned around and looked this way, that way, I couldn't see Thomas a bit. If I turned around, all I got was his light right in my face, but I could hear his voice through the whole thing. Listen, you find yourself in the caves of life when you don't know which way is up or which way is out, you need to learn to listen to and follow your guide. Amen. Hey, you need to come to these services, be here like a clock a ticking, and say, "Holy Spirit, talk to me. I don't know which way to go. I don't know what to do. I don't know who's right. I don't know who's wrong. I don't know whether to listen to Dr. Fauci or the science or the CDC. I don't know whether to listen to the preacher. I don't know who to listen." Hey, you need to listen to your guide tonight. And He will guide you. Remember what the Bible said? Into all truth. Into all truth. When you find yourself in the caves of life, you need to learn to follow your guide. Oh, He's here tonight. He's here tonight. Oh, I heard His voice as soon as them young'uns started singing. Soon as they started singing, He said, "Yes, I bear witness with that." Amen. Soon as them ladies started singing, I knew the guide was here. Amen. And then I watched folks start coming to the altar. There's an idea. There's an idea. There's an idea. There's a great idea. Preacher, I don't know what to do. Pray. Amen. Preacher, I don't know which way to go. Pray. Amen. Pray. Come talk to the guide tonight. Yes. And He will lead you into all truth. I got myself in a dilemma a while back. I mean, as a pastor, I didn't know what to do. I had a situation that I'd never dealt with before, and I had the bright idea, preacher, I'm going to call the five biggest preachers I know. The five biggest, and I could name them, and every one of you would know all five of them. And I called all five of these men of God. I said, I got a problem. I need you to call me. Every one of them called me back. I talked to all five of them, explained my situation. Do you know what all five of them guys told me? Something totally different. All five of them, great men of God. I wouldn't do anything to discredit them for nothing in the world, but every one of them told me something totally different.
Yes, sir.
I sat back and I got to thinking, you know what? They don't know my situation. They're doing the best they can. They're telling me what they would do in their situation. They're doing the best. I can't fault them. I was just so shocked, brother, that none of them's advice lined up. I couldn't say, you know what? That's what brother so-and-so said. Nobody told me the same thing. Everybody told me something different. And you know what I decided? I'm just going to have to get on my face. I'm just going to have to open this book. And I'm going to have to trust God on this one. If I don't hear from God, I'm liable to mess this thing up real bad. I mean, it's one of them deals. We on the interweb? We are. It's one of them deals where I'm fixing to have to ask somebody to leave the church. That kind of thing. You know what I'm talking about? We don't church people, but I had to church somebody. I had to tell them, you can't. It's a bad deal.
Yes.
And I decided I better just get on my face.
Sure.
And listen to what the Lord says. When you find yourself in the caves of life, you need to learn to follow your guide.
Yes.
Number two, when you find yourself in the caves of life, you need to find your light. You need to find your light. We're standing in the river and Thomas has given us this whole pre-trip kind of advice or class on cave tubing. You know, how hard can it be? Sit on the tube and float. Amen. But anyway, he's telling us all the do's and the don'ts and the rocks that'll cut your feet and all this stuff. And Thomas says, now everybody stop for just a second. When they gave us the tube, they gave us a coon hunting light. Now, who knows what a coon hunting light is? It's like a hard hat with a flashlight on it. Y'all, like a miner's hat. Is that better? I grew up as a coon hunting light. Amen. They give us all a coon hunting light. And I'm thinking, cool, I can deal with that. Amen. So we're all sitting in the river and we're sitting on our floats. And Thomas says, all right, everybody find your light. I said, no problem. It's right there. He said, check it and make sure it's good.
Yes.
I cut my light on. I pulled my hat off. You barely could see that little light in that bright sunshine. I said, I don't know, Thomas, mine's pretty dim. And I'm looking at my wife and I said, hers is pretty dim. He said, out here.
Yes.
He said, out here. He said, but when we get where we're going, you'd be shocked at how bright that little light is.
Amen.
I don't know how many of God's people are just floating through the caves of life in total darkness. Preacher, we got to a spot in that cave about a mile in. And we stopped. Everybody's holding on to the wall of this cave. I mean, this ain't no little, I mean, it's huge. I mean, you could drive a truck through this thing. But we pull up beside this wall and Thomas said, on the count of three, everybody cut off your light. And on the count of three, we all killed our lights. And that was that darkness that he was talking about. Never. I'm talking about you cannot see your hand in front of you. You cannot see nothing. But that little light on the top of your head made all the difference in the world. Man, if it wasn't for that little light, I wouldn't know which way we came in. I wouldn't know which way to go out. I mean, I thank God for the light.
Amen.
Psalms 119, the psalmist said, Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. He said, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. What I'm trying to say is when you get in that cave, you better find you some light. You better say, God, I need to see where I'm going. You need to show me the way. Amen. He said, it's a lamp under my feet, a light under my path. And I've always knew there was a double meaning there, but I never really fully understood it till I got in that cave. We got to this one part in the cave. Y'all have to give my wife a hard time when you see her. She's crazy. She is. She's crazy. We got to this one part in the cave, and I'm talking about the roof was probably 100 feet in the air. I'm talking about it's huge. And he said, I tell you what we're going to do, guys. He said, we're going to get out right here, and we're going to climb up on all these rocks, and we're going to climb up on this cliff, and we're going to jump off. I said, who's we? King Wasabi. You got a rat in your pocket? I ain't jumping. Now he said, listen, when my wife said, I'm doing it. I said, you're on. I didn't do it either. But she did. He said, listen, when we get out of these rafts, when we get out of these tubes, he said, make sure to point your light down. He said, thy word is a lamp under my feet. He said, everywhere you step, he said, these rocks are slick. He said, and they're sharp. We had on them little swimming shoe things. He said, they'll cut your feet. He said, you need to make sure every step you take, that's a lamp under my feet. I'm glad the Bible is a lamp under my feet. You know what it does? It shows me where I am. Truth be known, the average Christian today don't have a clue where they are. You remember when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden? And they hid themselves and God came walking in the cool of the day. And God yells out, Adam, Adam, where art thou? Y'all remember that? Y'all reckon God knew where Adam was?
Yes,
come on, y'all talk to me a little bit.
Sir.
Y'all think God knew where Adam was? Well, why is he asking? Adam, where art thou? Well, he's hiding. Why are you hiding? Because we're naked. How you know you're naked? God is famous for asking questions he already knows the answer to. He knew exactly where Adam was. Did he not? But you know what he needed? He needed Adam to know where Adam was. I can't get right with God. I can't get closer to God if I don't know where I'm at with God. Thy word is a lamp under my feet. It shows me where I'm at. But not only that, he said, it's a lamp under my feet, but a light under my path. It shows me where I'm going.
Amen.
It shows me where I'm going. I got that Ford truck out yonder, and I don't know how you feel about Fords, but I ain't a big Ford man, but I like that one. It's all right. Amen. It runs and pulls my boat. It does okay. Amen. But anyway, I bought that Ford, and I noticed a few weeks after I got it, every time I drove that truck at night, people were flashing their lights at me. I mean, just a flash in their lights, and I'd brighten my lights, and I'd go, there you go. Bless God, get you some of that.
That's right.
Amen. A few weeks later, we left church, and I got behind my wife going home. Real preachers don't ride to church with their wives. We drive separate. And we get, somebody say amen. She gets there about 30 minutes after I do. Anyway, I got behind her going home, and she kept waving at me in the rearview mirror. And I just waving. We got home, I got a truck. She said, you got to do something. I said, what? She said, them's the blindest headlights I ever seen in my life. She said, you had your bright lights on. I said, no, I didn't. They was on dim. They was on dim the whole time. Thank God for some good lights. Amen. Thank God for some lights that will light the pathway up way out front. Thank God this Bible not only has the ability to show me where I am, preacher, but it has the ability to show me where I'm headed down the road. Amen. Both are equally important. Follow your God and find your light. Find your light. In that cave, in the darkness, without the light, we'd have been hopeless. If Thomas had disappeared, if Thomas would have disappeared, you would think, just ride the current. But man, there was none. There was none. We were paddling ourselves. Always. If Thomas had disappeared, I mean, we're talking about nearly 3 miles through this thing, man. You ain't got a clue. And there's turns. You can go this way and that way. You know what he said to me? He said, preacher, some people think they can do this on their own.
Oh, yeah.
He said, some people think they can do this on their own. He said, I know it sounds like a movie. He said, but a lot of people came in this cave, ain't never come out. I thought, boy, that's like a lot of Christians. I've witnessed a lot of God's little old children go off in a cave somewhere and never come out. Never. You say, oh, they wasn't good Christians. Oh, don't be careful. Be careful how you judge. Be careful how you judge. You don't never know till you get in that cave by yourself. Amen. Follow your guide. Find your light. Now, before we started into the cave, Thomas did something that has stuck with me for a long time, and I'll never forget it. I noticed the whole time we're hiking through the woods, he's got a piece of rope, maybe about 20 foot long, and he's got that thing doubled up several times and stuck through his belt loop. And I'm thinking, I wonder what this cat's doing with this rope. Is he going to hang somebody? What's up? You know? And we get down there, and we get in the water, and he gives us all the instructions, and he takes that rope out of his belt, and he ties it to the first raft. There's a handle on the side of them rafts. He ties that rope to the first raft. Then he loops it through and he ties it to the second raft. First raft, mine. Second raft, my wife. Then he takes it and ties it to that little newlywed husband's raft and then to the wife's raft. But what he did next, he took the end of that rope and tied it around his waist. I said, Thomas, what are you doing? He said, you don't ever want to get separated from your group.
Amen, preacher.
You don't want to ever get separated from your group.
Listen.
He said, it is of vital importance once we enter the mouth of this cave that you and I and this little couple right here, we must stay together. We must stay together. He said, no matter what happens at the end of the day, I'm tied to you, I'm tied to her, I'm tied to him, and I'm tied to her, and all y'all are tied to me. Thanks be unto God, I'm tied to somebody. Somebody ought to help me tonight. Hey, I said, follow your God, for find your light, forsake not your group. Forsake not your group. I'm trying to be mindful tonight, but there's a few things that's got me upset. A lot of these young preachers running around the country claiming to be recovering fundamentalists. They need their little britches pulled down and their little hind end whooped till it's beet red. You say, well, I happen to be one. Me and the preacher take care of you as soon as it's over. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You better not forsake your group. Are you listening? You better thank God for the one I'm tied up with. Hey, we got faults and we got failures. We ain't perfect, but thank God for the church. Amen. Hey, that's where God put me when He saved me. That's where He'll call me out of one of these days. Thank God for the group I'm tied up with. Amen. Hey, I don't have a problem saying I'm an independent Baptist.
No.
Yeah, but there's stupid ones out there.
Yes, sir.
Well, yeah.
Yes, sir.
They stupid everything out there.
That's right.
Amen. That don't make the whole group bad.
That's right.
Are we all right? I didn't come to make nobody mad. That ain't me. But boy, God's sure been good to me. God put some old men of God in my life. Amen. I was thinking about old Sammy Allen this afternoon. Old Brother Sammy, he'd preach he was going to hell if you had on a colored shirt. He would. I love Brother Sammy. But he did preach that. He preached you had hair on your face. You wasn't right with God. If you had wire-rimmed glasses or cowboy boots. All right? Y'all remember all that stuff? But I'm telling you what, there's more people in heaven because that old man. Y'all all right? I might have hit a snag right there. He done more for God than you'll ever think about doing. Are y'all listening to me? Hey, thank God for them old men of God. That blazed a trail. Amen. What they don't realize is while he was preaching all that crazy stuff was in the middle of the 60s and 70s and the hippie movement and the tie-dye shirts and the wire-rimmed glasses were associated with John Lennon and the Beatles and all that. He had a reason for it. Now there's still a few idiots around that still preach it, but anyway. Thank God for the group God put me in. Man, I could have been born into anything. I could have been born into a Muslim family. You better thank God for His mercy and for His grace. Wasn't for the grace of God, you'd be bowing on a rug toward Mecca tonight. Are y'all listening? Thank God for the group. Hey, thank God for the church. I'm just going to stick with it. Hey, if she's meeting outside, we'll meet outside. If it's meeting in the rain, we'll meet in the rain. Hey, man, thank God for the church. Forsake not your group. You may not want to admit it, but you're going to need this crowd one day. You say, well, bless God, not me. I don't need that preacher for anything. Who are you going to call when the funeral arrangement times come? You're going to call that man of God right there. And you know what he'll do? He'll come. With his wife standing there going, you're crazy. You ought to tell them to jump off a cliff. Because she's watched the hurt and the heartache. I'm at home tonight, ain't I?
Yes, sir.
Thank God for the church.
Sure.
Thank God for the old preacher that'll just always be there.
Yeah, man.
Forsake not your group. You're going to need them one day.
Yes.
We're going to need each other.
Yes.
Are you listening?
Yes.
That means there may come a day in this country when we're going to have to stand together. It ain't going to be my church is against your church and we're against that church down the street. We better learn how to stand together or die alone. Amen. They shooting at us right now. Amen. That's perfect timing right there. Well, I done got so tickled, I can't. Find yourself in them dark places. Follow your guide. He's there whether you realize He is or not. He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Lo, I'm with you always. He's there. Follow your guide. Follow your guide. Find your light. Oh, light makes a big difference in a dark place, preacher. It makes a big difference. That little coon hunting light, that thing become more valuable to me. Ooh, especially when we got in that place where he had everybody cut their lights off. I'm like, okay, I get it. Cut them back on. Amen. She said, preacher, was you scared? Yeah, I was. I don't like it. I'll be honest with you. I ain't never doing it again unless she says. Follow your guide. Find your light. Some of you may have come to church tonight. You don't know which way to turn, which way to go. Maybe you go get on this altar like some of these young ladies did earlier and say, God, you got to help me. You got to show me the way. You got to show me the way. We criticize Thomas in John chapter number 14. We criticize Thomas. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father. You remember that? Jesus tells them, says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. And Thomas said, how do we know the way? He asked a stupid question, does he not? And all of us going, Thomas, come on. Well, at least he asked.
Yes, at least he asked.
At least he asked.
Amen.
My granddaddy used to say, son, he used to call me question mark because I ask 1,000 questions. He'd say, son, there's no such thing as a stupid question. I realized that to be true when Levi, my little boy, he's a pastor and great preacher. But when he was a little boy, he was the same way. He asked so many questions. So many questions. We were riding down the road one day and he was like, Daddy, what? Daddy, why? Daddy, that. Finally, I said, Levi, why do you ask so many questions? And I'll never forget his answer, preacher. He looked over at me and he said, "Because, Daddy, me don't know."
Exactly right.
Because me don't know.
Amen.
What I take for granted every single day, his little young mind, he really didn't know. So I made up my mind right then, I was going to give my son an answer no matter what. No matter what. Driving down the road, he would ask so many questions. Every sign, every road sign. Coming on Buckhannon Highway into Dallas, Georgia, there's a sign that says hospital and it's got an arrow pointing like that. He said, "Daddy, what's that sign mean?" I said, "Heaven." We get on into town and there's a sign at the bank. It's got a circle and a P in the middle of it with a cross through the P. "Daddy, what's that mean?" I ain't going to tell you what I told him. Don't be afraid to ask.
Amen.
Follow your God. Find your light. Forsake not your group. You know, I don't know how many of y'all normally run, but I'm just telling you, you ought to be here. You ought to be here. You're so worried about the virus. Stand out yonder. Do whatever you got to do. Get around God's people. Get around that kind of singing. Get around this kind of preaching. Man, don't forsake it. Don't forsake it. It's sad to say, but I know people personally who will probably never go back to church. Ever. Ever, preacher. Ever. 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 They sit at home and they watch online. And that's okay when you ain't got no choice. But I'm glad we're in a place when our group, man, we've made every way possible for us to meet together and to be together. It's important.
Yes.
We need the group. We need the group. Forsake not your group. Lastly, and I'm done, focus on your exit.
Amen.
Focus on your exit. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, verse number 13, the Bible said, "There is no temptation taking you but such as is common to man." You ever thought about that much? "For there is no temptation taking you but such as common to man." A lot of times when you're going through something, you're thinking, "Nobody understands what I'm going through." Somebody does. Somebody's been there before. Your problem is not unique to you. Somebody's been there before. I'm one of them kind of pastors. I don't counsel everybody. If I have a young couple come to me and they've lost a baby, I don't counsel with them. I hook them up with another couple who's been through what they're going through. I say, "Y'all get with them. They can help you. Y'all go out to eat. Here's some money." Y'all know what I'm saying? Y'all know what I'm saying? "There is no temptation taking you but such as common to man." I love this next statement. What's it say? There's a "but" there, isn't there?
Yes.
"But God is faithful."
Yes, He is.
Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape." There's a way out. There's a way out. "This too shall come to pass." We're going through that cave. We've been on this little trip now for a couple of hours. I don't know how long it takes to float 3 miles, but however long it took, it seemed like forever. My entire vacation was spent in the cave. We're going through the cave and I'm hollering back, "Thomas! How about that chicken?" I've seen enough, let me get this right, stalactites, that's rocks that hang down from the ceiling. Is that right? And stalagmites is rock that grows up from the bottom. He's pointed out, I've seen it. You've seen one stalactite, you've seen a million. I've seen all the cave I want to see. Chicken. Chicken. "Thomas, how about that chicken?" You know what Thomas said? "If you'll quit looking back here and keep your eyes ahead." He said, "Just be patient." About that time we rounded a bend in that river inside that cave, and you know what I saw?
Amen.
I saw light.
Amen.
I started crying. I was poking my wife. I said, look. It's the door. There is a way out of here. Sometimes the devil will convince you that there's no way out. Y'all remember Gulliver's Travels? Anybody remember Gulliver's Travels, the old cartoon years ago? Gulliver was a normal-sized guy, and there was a bunch of little midgets, dwarfs. Y'all remember them? Anyway, nobody does but me. Because there was one old grumpy guy. Always, every time they'd get in a mess, he'd say, "We're doomed. We're not going to make it." Y'all remember that guy? Sounded kind of like Eeyore. Yeah, "We're doomed. We're not going to make it. This is the end." Hey, the devil will tell you that, man. You wind up in the cave and he'll say, "This is it. It's over." Hey, I've had him tell me, "Your ministry's over. Your ministry's over. You might as well resign. You might as well give up. Your marriage is over. Your children's lives are over. It's over. It's over. It's over. It's over. It ain't over till he says it's over." Focus on your exit. If we're not careful, we'll get so consumed on the cave. We'll get so consumed with the darkness that we forget that it has a duration. It has a duration. It will end. It will end.
Yes.
Preacher, when we come around that corner, and I seen, it looked like it was that big around, but it was big as this building. I seen that light. I know I really couldn't, but I thought I smelled that chicken. Focus on your exit. Maybe when we get in the cave, we should say to our God, "Why are we here? Why are we here? We're with you. And we're listening to everything you got to say. And we're going to hang with this group. And we're doing our best to find their light. But how are we here? Why are we here? And how we get out? How we get out? There is a way out. Else the Bible is not true. But God is faithful.
Yes.
But God is faithful. Sometimes the way out may be the ultimate way out. It may be heaven. But it's a way out.
Yes, sir.
It's a way out.
Yes, sir.
He will never leave His people in the cave. Let's stand our feet tonight. I don't know where you're at. I don't know what you're going through. But if you're in the cave tonight, you need to follow your guide. You need to find your light. You need to forsake not your group. You ought to get more involved in church than you've ever been in your life. Focus on your exit. Wouldn't it be good if somebody found a way out tonight? Wouldn't it be good if somebody realized, "I ain't got to die in this cave. God put this here for my good. Not to destroy me." Let's bow our heads all over that.